Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it.
Welcome to another edition of Rams Up Roundtable. I'm your host, Tom, at RamsBeat on Twitter, joined today by my Rams Up co-host, Mark, as well as regular roundtable guests, Ian and Paul. What's going on, everybody?
Pretty excited, to talk some football.
Yeah, double barrel ram horns all the time.
Yeah, hey, happy new year, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Tom, happy new year, dude. Happy new year. Isn't that crazy? Like, NFL, everyone out there, NFL is king. Obviously, you're listening in and you agree with that probably sentiment, but anybody else tuning in, we just celebrated a new year for the beginning of the 2024 season, and we're like half a year away from an actual legit game action. It's incredible. I love
there
football.
There were more happy new year tweets and memes and everything on X today for NFL anyway than there were like on January 1st.
It's crazy, man. I mean, it's just this is where everyone believes, right, gentlemen? I mean this is where everyone says we're gonna win the championship. Look what we did to get into the tournament. You know, all the fun scenarios that every fan base goes through.
NFL stands for no formal letdown. It's 24/7, 365.
Yeah,
right?
They have it nailed, man. They dominate.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Dodgers, and I saw a couple of things pop up on my feed about spring training and all that. I was like, I don't want to hear about the Dodgers today. Come on.
Yeah, the only things that trend on X for the Dodgers are when their Japanese pitchers are holding up or wearing Rams jerseys. then they trend. Well, let's dive right in. So free agency effectively started on Monday, and We have a lot going on for the Rams. So let's start with the big, the biggest, no pun intended, signing, Jonah Jackson taking over at guard, and that moves Steve Avila to center. So, Ian, why don't you lead us off? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man. You know, this is a signing that, you know, as we predicted, was maybe unlikely to happen, right? Spend big money on offense of line. You know, we talked about other position groups. You can listen back to those pods. They were real fun talking to you gentlemen. But I didn't even know Jonah Jackson was going to even be a possibility. I for sure thought that the Lions would keep him. You know, I forgot the other name of the lineman that they did re-sign who was also good. Yeah. But for the Lions to let go of a Pro Bowl-level offensive lineman, which, think about it, guys. Think about how hard that is to find good linemen in this league when you're playing against freak athletes on the D-line on a weekly basis and how tough it is to defend those guys. So for the Lions to let a player like him go and for us to identify him and be like, we need that big son of a gun, I love it. I love it. Think of how many times we've talked about how we needed to get more nasty. We needed to bury people in the trenches more, at least on offense. And it was trending in that great direction with Dotson being re-signed, with the schematic changes from zone, smaller linemen, to gap, more power-esque linemen. It's fantastic. I'm happy about it. Because at the end of the day, if number nine can't play, we have no shot. And this, along with Kyron being made of iron, like Paul likes to say, it's fantastic. And I think this is a great move by our team to invest in the O-line, invest in the most valuable part of this football team, which is O-line to protect Stafford and feed Kyron. I think it's a great signing, honestly.
Well, Paul, how do you feel about Avila moving to center?
Yeah, I think it's a great move. I mean, one of the big things he said in several interviews that center was his natural, in quote unquote, best position. That's him. That's what he said verbatim. So he's proved last year how talented he is and how physical he is and how well-versed in technique he is. Moving him to center only just allows him to more position, you know, allow his instincts to take over. So he theoretically he'll be even better this year. And you just see the domino effect it's going to have, the positive domino effect it's going to have on the line. The signing from Detroit, I mean, the kid's nasty, but he's also one of the best pulling guards in the league. He's ranked as the number three best pulling guard in the league. So that's something I think the Rams wanted to add because they wanted to be a little bit more effective attacking on the edge with the running game. So that makes a lot of sense. Iron Kyron's just going to feed off of that. You're going to see him be able to sort of stretch the ball wide a lot more. The Rams, which is just going to open up the inside gaps a lot more for him. So I think it's a good fit across the line. The overall investment in the O-line across the board, tendering Jackson, et cetera, we'll talk about that shortly. But I just think it's a great move. In any sport, you always build from the center out, literally. And in this case, right, all teams we build, whether it's lacrosse, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, basketball, doesn't matter. You always build from the center out. So it makes a lot of sense. Kudos to the front office for understanding that you got to keep Stafford upright. You keep Stafford upright, the Rams are dangerous. They proved that last year. So I think that last year, that lesson was learned in a not so well-designed way. I will stand by that. But I think it was a valuable lesson that they learned. They're like, holy cow, we got something here.
Yeah, not only keep him upright, but we all know when he has his running game going, how much that opens the passing game for these guys. So, Mark, any final thoughts on the offensive line situation?
No, I did feel kind of vindicated. You know, I posted my shopping list on Reddit and someone criticized me for not including center as a need. And I pointed out, and I think it was thanks to Paul and Ian saying, hey, Avila is probably going to be our starting center. We just need an interior offensive lineman and bingo, we got one.
Yep.
And our three guys in the middle of that offensive line got to be top three or four in the league right now, right? I would think. But yeah. I do have a concern, you know, there's always a concern, and I don't mean to be a pessimist, but, you know, I am concerned about the depth there, especially if Noteboom moves on, Shelton's probably moving on, Brian Allen, And that was a strength we had last year, was the depth. We have Warren McClendon, and I'm not sure who else. So we're probably still going to hit interior offensive line in the draft, I think, for some depth. But yeah, man, I'm thrilled at the play action that this is going to open up with these three offensive linemen, Matthew Stafford and Kyren Williams, Puka and Kupp running their routes. It's going to be fun to watch.
Good stuff. Yeah. And then we got another big guy on the line, Colby Parkinson, 6'7". And Mark, go ahead and lead us off with Colby Parkinson.
Well, I'll just say that anybody that saw this coming, I'm calling BS on that. I vaguely remember seeing him make a couple of first down catches against the Rams. I think, and I said, who is this long haired freak? And then they signed him, and I'm like, I started looking at his tape and researching him a little bit. And as I pointed out, as other people have, that Bryson Hopkins was picked, I think, three picks behind Parkinson. So maybe he was McVay's guy all along. And
Kevin Dotson was a couple picks after, too. I just wanted to share that as well, which is crazy how we ended up with all of them. It's crazy.
And you know who came right after all of them is, I'm not going to say his first name, Snead, the cornerback in Kansas City. All those guys went before Snead. But anyways, yeah, red zone threat. I know Ian's going to talk about his blocking capabilities. One thing I'm not sure about him is, you know, McVay loves to run those little tight end screens, whatever you want to call them. And I don't know if that's in his toolbox. But other than that, yeah, I'm excited.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Ian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, who saw this coming? I mean, I don't think anybody in any network podcast fan could have predicted this signing. Let's just be honest. But Colby Parkinson, he's what a huge human being he is. 6'7", 251, just a monster. And he's got the long lettuce, so you can't miss him, right? And I think when I was scouring the interweb of Seattle Seahawks fans and their take on this, even talking with some people, that he was an amazing blocker and underutilized in the passing game, which they agreed that all tight ends since the Pete Carroll have always been underutilized in Seattle. But to Colby, great player at Stanford. He, you know, in limited opportunities when, you know, their program was kind of in that on the downturn. And when once he gets drafted, everyone thinks, okay, he's going to be the main guy. Seahawks don't use him. But when he got his opportunities in the passing game, he caught all his passes. You see the highlights. If anyone wants to YouTube those or find those on Seahawk web pages or Reddit or wherever, I mean, Matthew Stafford's going to love this dude. McVay's going to love this dude when we get in the red zone, which has been a problem. Think about it. Other than Odell Beckham Jr. and Allen Robinson, when we actually designed plays for those jump ball red zone scenarios, it's been non-existent. Wouldn't it have been nice in that Detroit game this past season? I think so. And I think Colby, in his highlight reel, you see him make all the catches because he's huge. He's a huge human with great hands, great athleticism. And then to the blocking perspective, which is my, I think, most important aspect I'd like to get into real quick. Dude's a mauler. Fits in exactly with what we talked about the O-line not too long ago in the segment. He's going to be perfect, can execute all the wham blocks, which is pulling from right to left full speed to clear somebody out. He can execute in double teams. He can execute in lead blocks on power tosses, power from the fullback, lead blocking that way. Pretty much everything Higbee doing or has done, excuse me, he can do, and he doesn't miss. We've seen those times with Higbee where he misses his block. And when he connects, Higbee could do it, but he sometimes completely misses his guy. Colby's never missed from everything I've seen when I've studied from this past, you know, couple days. So I think it's good. I think this is a good signing. And plus, unfortunately for Higbee, his knee injury must be way more serious than we're being told. Let's be honest. Les Snead said that his surgery went well, but from what I remember, he tore his ACL. I think he tore his MCL, and there was other ligament damage. So there's three tendons in that knee that are jacked that need to be repaired. Not good for a tight end who has had previous knee injuries in the past and has been banged up in general. So we'll see what happens for the future, but Colby is the future starting today, and I like the signing based off everything I just said, and I think hopefully it should feel that way too.
Paul, you like big tight end blocking tight ends.
Love the big tight ends that can move. And that's it. apart, you know, the, you know, when Mark and I were doing the draft thing, we were joking around. We said Seattle has just released all their tight ends. And in the back of my head, I was thinking that, you know, the Rams might actually go after Disley because he's such a great blocker, right? And that's how I was thinking they were going to go low-cost tight end. Boy, did they go in a different direction. So apart from the salary cost, which I thought was surprising because they're basically paying him the same amount as Higbee, just a little bit under what Higbee was getting paid.
Yeah.
So we might be looking, hopefully, that – I hope Higgs comes back, but we might be looking at an injury settlement somewhere down the line if it's that bad, right? And
yeah,
let's just hope it's not. But which further cements Detroit getting a little payback when we circle that on the calendar. I hope the Rams are doing that in the locker room as well. But having said that, this kid played at Stanford. I think in one game he had multiple tight ends. I think he caught like four touchdowns in one game. So I remember his draft scouting report when he was coming out. You know, it's a good move for the Rams. It fits their system. He's tailor-made for their system. Higbee usually averages anywhere between 50 and 70 catches a year, which is right in this kid's wheelhouse. He's had 25 back-to-back seasons in Seattle. So you figure that type of boost in the Rams system is not outside of the realm of possibility. He's a physical player, plays well in the red zone, that jump ball skill set that we've been talking about, very similar to what Davis Allen does. The only thing I would say is that McVay has always had a hard time. We talked about this before when they had two tight ends, is getting that second tight end on the field, finding a way to get enough reps for that second tight end. So as much confidence as I had in Davis Allen, which I still do, I think he would have been phenomenal.
I still do too.
Yeah. I think they just wanted to go with that veteran option. If you look at the deal, it's technically a two-year deal, right? Theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a good fit for the Rams. I think the Rams scouted it out well. I'm sure they had a reason for paying that kind of money, but I think he'll be good for 50 plus catches. I think he'll be great in the red zone. I really hope they dial him up in the red zone because he's got that jump ball capability. He's got good, strong hands. But I also hope that they find a way of getting Davis Allen in there on the red zone and split him out wide. I think that would be a great way to take advantage of his skill set as well and almost give him like a specialist role down there. I think that would be great as well. Listen, when you add more weapons to your offense and you diversify, all that does is make you more dangerous. So keep Stafford happy by giving him an array of weapons. You improved your blocking as well. You got a veteran blocker that knows how to block. I'm sure Ian looked at it. Did you see those kickout blocks?
I'm telling you, the WAM blocks that I'm talking about.
They were a thing of beauty. They lined them up in the backfield sometimes.
Yep. Yep.
As the lead blocker. So, and the kid plays with heart. That's the thing. He brings that energy. And the first thing he said when he signed with the Rams and when they were interviewing him, they said, "I am ecstatic to be going home." The kid is. So when Michael Hoyt threw up that LA sign, and you remember when he got that sack?
Yeah,
those are the type of guys you want on the team. They're happy to be there. That's the culture the Rams should be bringing. Listen, it is all about the Super Bowl this year. That vibe should be starting, like you said, from day one, from New Year all the way through. Everything they do should be in that mindset. And when we start talking about free agent options, I think that should be the running theme.
Yeah. You mentioned coming home, Kobe Parkinson, a Oaks Christian. I think he might have overlapped with Zach Charbonnet, maybe Kayvon Thibodeau. I'm not sure.
Everyone that doesn't know, it's like 5-6 miles away from where the Rams practice. Like,
dude, right, Westlake Village.
He grew up right there. I'm sure his family's really happy.
And they churn out NFL players like clockwork.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, good stuff. So, so a couple of not so familiar faces in Jonah Jackson and Kobe Parkinson come some big surprises, but we have a big signing for us that is a familiar face. Darius Williams comes back after getting the bag and leaving and going to Jacksonville after the Super Bowl. Couldn't blame him. And he comes back on a fairly reasonable contract. I think it's 3 years, $22 million or something like that. So pretty reasonable.
Right.
And most of these deals are ultimately, you know, with the guarantees and stuff, are ultimately 2-year deals, which I want to get into in a little bit later on in terms of how they're lining up these contracts. But yeah, so real quickly, let's start to fire through some of these next topics, though. Mark, Darius Williams, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Oh, hey, we need cornerbacks, and he's a proven commodity. We know he can play.
I'm not sure if that's a vote of confidence for Darius or not. In other words,
he's certainly an improvement over our current. You know, I mean, Darion Kendrick and Kobe Durant, they're fine. They're pieces. They're guys that can fill in as needed. You know, Darius Williams, an NFL starting cornerback, a proven cornerback that we know what level he can play at. My question is he our CB1 or is he going to be our CB2?
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer to that, but hey, one of my favorite plays all time, and I watched it, I think, 3 or 4 times today, is the pick six in Seattle.
That was
such a great play. That was a play he made with his head. They were waiting for it. He was waiting for it. He jumped on that, and that was just a devastating blow for the Seahawks. And yeah, one of my favorite plays.
Yeah,
I'm all for it.
So Paul, he is going to be 31, I think, or 30. Yeah. And he's going to be over 30 coming into this league. You know, coming into the season, and if he's not already, so cornerbacks don't tend to age very well. You know, it's very rare that you get a guy who's going to, do well. I think somebody threw out a stat. I have not confirmed it, but I think Blake from Turf Show Times said that only 3 starting cornerbacks on the edge, not slot corners, but edge corners in the NFL last year were over 30, you know, consistently starting productive cornerbacks. So if that's true, what are your thoughts? Is he getting a little old, or what are your thoughts, Paul?
So it's interesting because when I had my list of corners, I was hoping the Rams signed, every single one was over 30.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah.
So I had Kenny Moore, Steven Nelson, and Gilmore. But I think one of the reasons that the Rams signed Williams, number one, is with familiarity. But number two, just like Mark said, the kid had a penchant for the big play, the INTs, and that's what they probably are looking for. He did very well when he was the running mate for who? Jalen Ramsey, right? So he played really well when he, I think Mark, you may have, you know, sort of hinted at that, is that when he's not the CB1, he is a rock solid corner. There's no question about it. So, you know, when you start to take a look at what the Rams have, you do have Kobe Durant, we know can play. There's no question about it. Where they play him, that's a different story. That'll be decided, you know, after camp. So you got Kobe Durant now. Now you got Darius Williams, 2 athletic corners. Both have the knack for the big play. Now on the other side, that's going to be the question, right? You have depth. We have Tomlinson. We have our buddy Kendrick, who has aged me prematurely. So I definitely see.
Me too. Either... Hey, me too, friend. Hey, me too.
I mean, come on. We have a 3rd-and-21, and you let someone get behind you. Come on, dude. Seriously. But I think either two things are going to happen. I think they're going to go big in the draft on a corner. Mark and I have been doing a couple of mocks, and the corner going early always turns out to be a great mock. And for those of you out there, thank you for the comments. We had a lot of fun with that segment. We've done a couple. But either they're going to go big on a big-time corner like Terrion Arnold. Arnold belongs on the Rams. Make it happen, Les Snead. That would be a nice defensive backfield. But I do think the Williams signing is a good signing. I was all in on Steven Nelson. I think Nelson is one of the best off-ball corners in the league. I would have loved for him to have been the money might have not been right, you know, because he is a valued corner. I think somebody is eventually going to bring him on board. But I think it's a good fit for the Rams and what they want to do. The Rams are confident in their system, right? They're confident in that, you know, off-ball system. They've had a lot of production. And now I think you're going to see the Rams start to pick up the pieces and start getting those heavy hitters up front, try to get a little bit more sizzle in the pass rush. And I think they're going to go back to what brought home the trophy behind me, right? They're going to go back to what they know works. So in that in context, Darius Williams fits.
Yeah. So
yeah.
We got D. Will and coming back, and then a couple of tenders. So we talked a little bit about the offensive line. I mean, we all knew Lerick Jackson would get tendered, and he'll be back. It'll be interesting to see if anybody, as being a left tackle and pretty productive left tackle, you know, not top of the league, but certainly not bottom of the league. He held his own, had a few lapses here and there, but UDFA for whatever he was getting paid last year, $800,000 or something like that. Not bad. So this year it's going to be I think he got a second round tender, which was like $4 million or something like that.
4.8 million. So that's pretty good for a tackle who only gave up one sack all season. So he played.
Hey, other teams can make offers to him, and the Rams have first right of refusal to match the offer. So if somebody offered him $7 million, the Rams could pay him $7 million. Or if the Rams did not agree to match that, then they get a second round pick. That's what a second round tender is. So the first round tender would have been more like 7.5 or something like that. So they went for the second round tender. It's kind of a little bit of a chess game. And so he's coming back. Michael Hoyt got tendered after it was reported that he wasn't going to be tendered.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously not viewing him, I don't think, in a starting role, going to be a backup guy. He's always been great on special teams, very versatile special teams player, and good depth on the edge, kind of a 5-10 snap guy or something like that, maybe 15 snap guy on the edge here and there in certain circumstances. So, Mark, what are your thoughts on these guys that are tendered so far?
Well, Lerick Jackson makes sense. I mean, we're counting on him being our starting left tackle, and I think he will be our starting left tackle. The Hoyt thing, I'm wondering if maybe they were pursuing an edge rusher. It didn't work out, so they're maybe hedging their bets. Let's bring Hoyt back just in case. I don't know. I was really surprised. Ian and Paul could probably speak to this better than I can, as far as from a coaching perspective. Would Hoyt be better just, you know, converting him back to a five technique and leave him there? We're a little thin along the defensive line. I don't know. If we're coming back with the same group of edge rushers, it's concerning because the market's getting a little thin. We'll talk about that in a second. And that's why I wanted to ask Paul, you know, given the situation right now, going off on a tangent here real quick, would you rather have Jared Verse or Terrion Arnold at this point?
Ooh, dude. How could you ask that question? That's a tough one.
I think that's kind of where we're at, though, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So based on the current situation, if that did come to fruition, that's going to be a tough choice. So for Ram Nation, what Mark is asking, Jared Verse is probably the premier edge rusher. He's a three-down rusher, meaning he can play the run, he could set the edge, as well come after the passer. He's a very, very physical player. The consensus is he's going to be gone in the top 15. Because he is the number one ranked edge player, no question about it. So if I had to choose one, I'm going to go with, because I think the edge market is drying up, the only exception to that is, and I don't want to jump ahead, we are going to talk about edge rushers, but like if they were going to go after somebody like Clowney, right, they could still get somebody like Clowney on a mercenary deal. If they knew that they were going to do that, because I think one of the reasons they signed Hoyt was because the premier edge rushers, I mean, that market just dried up like overnight, right? In like 48 hours, guys, right?
Yeah,
everybody's it was gone. Done pretty much. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. When you go to like to that scenario, unless you get a mercenary deal from one of these guys, you're going to have to go edge. But, you know,
when do the Rams like to sign edge rushers? We've talked about this every off season, yeah. Right? They come in before the trade deadline. They take a guy for a low cost. He's already been paid all his money in his signing bonuses by another team. He's not a free agent with a blank slate for a contract that they have to dish out all this money. And they come in with I think Floyd came in that way. I think Von Miller came in that way. So they bring these guys in, you know, before the trade deadline. They love filling that position now. Right. We can't start off the season with Michael Hoyt. I mean, you can't do that. So we're going to have to. But I do think they're looking to fortify. And how about Les Snead making that comment we don't want to spend all our money at Christmas. Let's save a little bit for some presents
at
the anniversary or the birthday or whatever. He loves these analogies are hilarious.
So the formula, and I'm going to turn it over to Ian in a second because I want to hear his feedback as well, because he and I love the X and O's part of it, is that also from the roster development part of it. So not taking nothing away from Terry Arnold, because he is my number one choice. I love that kid. That kid is a plug and play corner. And that was in this league to get 4 years, a rookie contract. Think about what corners are getting. We're talking about tier two corners getting like 10, 11 million cash. So think about a corner of that capacity. When you bring in a player like Jared Verse, also edge rusher, 4 year contract, rookie contract, one of the highest paid positions in the NFL right behind left tackle. It does a great, just opens up a world of possibilities in terms of your cap space. But to get that player for 4 years and to be able to develop him, and you could start him on the left side. You don't have to throw off Byron Young. You have now Hoyt and everybody else getting into the mix, into their rotation. It just makes like that healthy sort of setup across the board. And you got 4 years of development at probably one of the most crucial positions in the Ram defense. Just think about what Floyd did for us. Verse has that type of run stop potential. He can play with his hand in the dirt. He can stand it up. In this day and age, pass rushers that can play with a hand in the dirt are rare. So this kid can bring it. He plays with full go motor. So to bring that kid in, and then you just supplement it like what we all know what's going to happen at the trade deadline. They'll get the best available pass rusher on a win it or spin it deal. Right. Either we win the Super Bowl or we, it was nice knowing you. That's fine. But listen, it makes a lot of sense. It fits the cap, allows you to develop your roster at a very, very high level. So that's what I think the Rams are honestly going to do. Just Mark sort of let the cat out of the bag. But I think that's what the Rams are going to do.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He's legit. It's really that simple. And man, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens on draft day. And real quick, before I go down this road here, I just want everyone to understand that Michael Hoyt is a solid edge defender. I think, could we squeeze him into your five technique that we were talking about, a couple minutes ago? Sure, because he's a former D tackle and he wasn't too bad at that. But I mean, guys, let's just be honest about it. If he was not dropping into coverage all the damn time, we wouldn't have this, or the fan base wouldn't have this. Oh, he sucks. Oh, he can't play. Rams fans, just like how you crapped on Darius Williams because the scheme wasn't fitting him and we were doing ridiculous things. Same thing with Michael Hoyt. We were doing ridiculous things that should not have been done with Michael Hoyt. I mean, guys, his pass rush win rate was higher than Leonard Floyd this past season, who just signed with the 49ers. Gross Matos, who just signed big money with the 49ers. More than Byron Young. More than Cleveland Farrell. More than Cameron Jordan, former All-Pro. More than Josh Uche, who we offered a contract to, by the way, and he went back to the Patriots. And many others. It's when he drops in the coverage, then we're in trouble. Because what 300-plus pound guy is going to be running with speedy wide receivers and running backs? No one. No one. Okay. So the guy can play outside linebacker. Like we said maybe a couple weeks ago when I said my dream scenario was Daniel Hunter and Khalil Mack. Obviously, none of those things are happening. But for him to rotate in, because when we won the Super Bowl, we had multiple guys who are starter worthy that could play. I think Michael Hoyt is starter worthy. Now, is he big money? No. But if we sign somebody else, I think it's perfect. He can rotate in and the drop-off won't be so severe. So him coming back at the cheapest possible tender, I think it's great. And if somebody wants to offer him more, then we'll take that pick. No problem. So to the Verse thing, I mean, the guy's a monster. That might be the plan, unless some Josh Allen miracle from the Jaguars happens, which would be great. Kiss away all the first round picks for that guy. But I think Michael Hoyt is worthy bringing back. And everyone out there who says he sucks, if you were 300 pounds and we asked you to cover running backs and receivers half the time, how would you fare? Probably not great. So let's give the guy some slack when he's a better pass rusher based off last season. Then again, Leonard Floyd for $10 million, Gross Matos for $10 million, and others I just named. Just cool it down. I'm happy to bring him back for under $3 million.
Yeah, no, he's great. I mean, he's a solid player at that price. And I'm not sure we tagged him for a pick if we don't sign him, if we get beat out. I think it's just a first right of refusal tag, but there's different.
He might be, I think you're right, Tom. Apologies.
There's just,
but
yeah, no worries. Regardless, there's different kinds of tags, but no, the point you're is, right, and right. I think to your point, I mean, we know we can't cover, you know, any, you know, tight end or anybody in dropping in coverage is just too. He's just too big of a guy. And even though he dropped a bunch of weight from when he was in the interior defensive line, he still just doesn't have that mobility or even that skill set. But
what, he came to the Rams at 301.
I think what pissed off a lot of Rams fans, including myself, was how he was giving up the edge in the first half of the season and last year. And
yeah,
and he fixed that. The second half of the season, he fixed that. And when he fixed that, he became very effective because he's an extremely good bull rusher, we talked about this. I think the defensive tackles were just giving him the inside and he was like taking it. He's like, you know, a kid in a candy store as an interior defensive lineman, going, oh, wow, I can shoot the inside gap. And they had plays set up where then they would just burst out, gave him the edge and they were setting him up for that. And then he got some technique and kept the edge and bull rushed the tackle and did a great job out there. So, credit to him for developing, good stuff. So moving on though, let's talk about, I want to talk about Aaron Donald. So Ian, you were talking about some of his tweet. He doesn't tweet a lot, but tell us what he's saying on Instagram.
Well, look, if everyone remembers, this is the famous Jalen Ramsey, tweets or Instagram stories or little video clips where it'd be him having like the devil like him being like, oh, hold on, you know what I'm talking about. Everyone
the
can
eyeball.
Visualize
they love
that.
The eyeball.
Eyeball one, like, uh-oh, you know. So Aaron Donald has had his version, not on Twitter, on his Instagram story. And I have Rams Twitter in a frenzy right now because I posted. It seems like Aaron Donald is happy about something, which is a little video of him walking away from a sack. And him doing like the yes sir kind of look and with a smile, no caption, no, it's not a post where it's like you can click on it and it leads to something else. This is like an individual little 4-second clip. Now, new league year, free agency is upon us. Jalen was famous for these things. Other players would do these little hints and things. So I tweeted, oh, it looks like Aaron Donald's happy about something with my own eyeballs. And I got the Rams Twitter in a frenzy kind of right now as we record. So, do I think he's retiring? We talked about it, in these last couple pods. Look, I don't think so. And is it possible? Maybe. But I feel like if he was contemplating it, he ain't sharing a little clip like this. You ain't sharing you giving the yes sir look with your fists in the air like that. If you're calling it a day, right? I don't think you would post any Rams related stuff. If you were calling it a day like that, if he was, I would expect maybe a bigger montage of like down memory lane, rookie year, defensive player of the year ceremonies, ring, where it's like looking back, like, oh, I loved it back then. I'm calling it a day. So I don't think any of that's happened. Maybe something big happens. I hope so. I hope a big signing on defense happens because everything's been offense other than Darius Williams. And that was my long soliloquy on that. And we shall see. Maybe we catch something during the pod. Maybe we hear something tonight. Talk about it tomorrow, but based off history, I think maybe something's happening, Rams Nation. We'll see.
Could it possibly be an extension in the works for him?
That's possible too, which I wouldn't be mad at either. But I think, Tom, I don't think we can hear you too well.
You think because you saw the Jones signing? Spurred that meme?
Yeah, no, I think that I agree with you, Mark. Sorry, I was on mute. Everything they're doing right now is lining up for two more years, and I've been always thinking it was going to be one more year. This Aaron Donald's last year, maybe Stafford's last year, but it looks like everything they're doing is setting up for at least two more years, for sure. It kind of matches up with Stafford's contract, Cooper Kupp's contract, a lot of these youngsters. coming into their free agency year in 2 years and so forth. So everything seems to be that way. I can see Aaron Donald getting a, I don't think he'd do a 1 year extension. I think he'd probably, you know, cost him a 2 year extension, and you know, who knows where that ends up. But I'm with you, Mark. I think it is an extension for Aaron Donald, and seeing where they're investing in these contracts and so forth. Paul, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I was thinking, is that when we start to see who they choose to restructure, we'll tell you the time frame, right? So the they've already started hinting at the Stafford restructure. If they go the way of restructuring Cup, that's telling you they're going in for more than one. So that's going to be interesting. I think they should, honestly. I think there's a lot to learn from the Patriots. It's a lot. There's a lot to learn from what KC has done. KC has said, let's be in it every year. Let's see what happens, right? And, you know, and even this past year, you know, just like you guys were saying, go back to all the preseason predictions. How many people had KC at number one? None. Nobody did. You could play the tape back, and right, you'll see there were very few people that did. So, you know, sometimes it's not how your team looks in the beginning of the season. It's how your team looks at the end of the season when you're going into that playoff scenario. And yeah, that's the key.
That's us. That was us. It was awful. We were talking about the halfway point. Yeah. Remember? Oh, what's next year look like?
Yeah.
Who are the good agents? We're going to have a high pick. And then, boom, won 7 out of 8 games. And here we are. But it's just crazy.
Yeah, I remember there was a time where I was the Rams had the number 6 pick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
football is a game. Football is a game of attrition. That's what people fail to sometimes really, really embrace. That the roster looks fantastic when you load up Madden, right? Because in Madden you got the same players for the entire season, right? But that's very different in the real world. It's about how many players you actually lose and are able to replace. That decides your season. So when people downplay depth, you know, in football that is the kiss of death. So the Rams are smart in the sense that they're starting to build that. So when you see these subtle moves like a Hoyt signing, it may not on the surface look like holy moly, but later in the season, that depth, that rotation, listen, we've got to keep Byron Young fresh and healthy. Think about that. That's a big deal. And in the NFL, people forget that. Remember, I feel terrible for, who was it, Greenlaw? That he tore his knee running on the field from the sideline. It wasn't even an action impact play. So that's the sport we're talking about, you know? And just a quick thing about the edge. Za'Darius Smith, if I'm not mistaken, and Clowney are both still out there, right? They're still unsigned, as I checked last night. So one of those two.
I think Za'Darius re-signed with Cleveland.
Yeah,
he did re-sign?
Yeah, he did. Right,
yeah. But so real quick, the Clowney point, I'm all in. Everything you're going to say right Clowney, now, I'm all in. I'll share my thoughts after, too, but –
I think what Clowney would do for that run defense, and listen, I still think people do not give him enough credit for pass rush, but what Clowney would do for that run defense and for that pass rush, running those stunts, oh my gosh, and coming off the edge, that would be ridiculous.
Paul, it was his best season with Baltimore. It was his best professional edge rushing performance. You talk about hand in the dirt, he had his hand in the dirt a ton.
Yeah.
For anyone out there real quick, Ravens run a 3-4 style defense. We run a 3-4 style defense. He's played also in a 4-3, which is more inclined to have your hand in the dirt, more traditional defensive end. But he's one of those dudes where his takeoff in the 3-point stance, hand in the dirt, is filthy. I mean, look it. I know people want Bosa from the Chargers. I know people want maybe Josh Sweat. Clowney's way better than both of them based off last season. Easily. It's not even a question. His film is fantastic. I was watching a little bit before we recorded just for fun. And if we can offer him some cash, maybe that's what Aaron Donald's happy about. Wink, wink. Hopefully that happens. That'd be great because he would be awesome. He would be awesome.
And the key in that particular scenario was this, right, Ian? They put him in a scheme that was an aggressive scheme, and they said, go after it. And then you got that production, right? And he's a physical player. He's a solid teammate. All the teammates love him. People criticize him because he goes after those one-year mercenary deals, you know, and building up the bank account. But what's wrong with that? Because one knee injury, your career is over.
but he's made a lot of money, and it hasn't been hasn't been so bad of a career, has it? He's still playing good football.
Exactly. A 1-year mercenary deal for the Rams would be perfect. That's ideal. That's a match made in heaven.
I mean, guys, he's on that move. He's fifth. He was fifth in the league this last season and pass rush win weight. Wait, I can't. That's a fucking tongue twister. Excuse me. But I mean, guys, he's only behind Michael Parsons, Miles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Will Anderson when he was on the field sparingly. I mean, dude is that dude still. So I mean, if we can get him at a price, it might be a blessing that we didn't spend gazillion dollars on some other person in the edge rusher position or spend money on Josh Uche, which little birdie told me we offered him a little something, which is why he turned it down and went back to New England. So I mean, we'll see what happens. We need defense. We need edge, because I know everyone was putting their money on Khalil. Didn't work out. Yeah. Danielle Hunter went back to his hometown in Houston, the Houston area, which I get. And hopefully something good happens. Maybe Aaron Donald knows.
Yeah, Aaron Donald knows. They're keeping him informed for sure. So, So let's talk about what's next. So what are we looking at? I mean, we have the safety situation right now. We have Yeast and Lake. That's about it. Who was the other
Jason Taylor?
Yeah, Taylor back there who didn't get any play time at all. But so it's basically the Yeast and Lake show. We have some ex-Rams available, right? Fuller, right, hasn't been signed. He's been a free agent, right? And Byron Scott, right? Yeah, Scott's out there, and JJ's out there. So, do we bring back one of those guys? Do we draft late in like we like to do in the later rounds, some safeties, and see who hits? Or what do we do?
It feels that way. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in my opinion, we bring one of those guys back and draft a safety in the sixth round. That's been the MO of the Rams. I think it's just interesting that John Johnson was apparently participated in recruiting Darius Williams back to the Rams, apparently. At least he said so. And then Nick Scott gets released. So I'm wondering if John Johnson could find himself out of a job because the Rams bring back Nick Scott. I don't know. I don't know who would you prefer, Ian, between those three, if we were going to bring one of those guys back?
It was, you said John Johnson, Nick, and who was the third?
Jordan Fuller.
Oh, I mean, I would choose Fuller for sure. But it seemed, look at guys, we don't re-sign safeties unless you're LaMarcus Joyner and get the franchise tag way back when. But it's unlikely. And let's just be honest about all of them. Jordan Fuller, when he's on the field, is solid. But his health is unreliable. He was hurt again, had a season-ending injury, and in the biggest games, he was not available, playoff game. Just like the Super Bowl run, he was not available, and we won without him. John Johnson, we won a championship without him. But he was wishy-washy at times. Good moments, and there were some moments just like Fuller. Now, to Nick Scott, he started because there was no John Johnson. Fuller was having, health issues, which is why he didn't start majority of that 2022 season. And then Nick Scott was wishy-washy as well. And then he got benched in Cincinnati this last season at the halfway point. So I say none of them, truthfully. Maybe I would say Fuller out of them all. Now, the problem is who's going to be replacing those guys. Now, Quinton Lake is somebody who played really well in the slot star position. He played there much better than a traditional up-top safety, strong or weak. Russ Yeast got benched for John Johnson at the halfway point, so did we feel great about that? And now these guys are still young players. They still have time to develop. Unless we get a Justin Simmons, that'd be cool, or we get somebody else who I'm just blanking on names right now, I just think, draft is what's going to happen. Draft is probably what's going to happen because Quinton Lake needs to stay at the star. He does. He excelled really well there, and let's not screw that up and make ourselves worse on defense and have him go back there. Now, can he develop and do it? Possibly. But I think the draft is what's going to happen unless we get a Simmons or somebody else.
That brings us back to Sione Vaki, right, Paul?
or Cole Bishop.
Yeah, but Paul, how about bringing back one of these guys or a couple of these guys? If they don't get signed somewhere else or something, bring them back for, you know, $2 million or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, real quick, the vet minimum I'm in. I just want to say that real fast.
Yeah, vet minimum. Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, it doesn't look like there's this huge market for these guys. And, you know, they know the scheme. They know what's expected.
And that's also part of the mid-year strategy as well, is to bring back when teams start to, you know, they know that their season is over, who do they normally release? They high price safeties. So that's another, we saw that with the Rams. The Rams have done it twice and with great success. So that's another thing the Rams could just say, you know, listen, we're going to go low cost, whether it's a vet, and supplement them with draft picks. And then if we have to, we'll wait till midseason when somebody gets released, when we're gearing up for the playoffs and they're gearing up for the draft, hopefully. Right. We, you know, we'll have our pick, you know, and in the Rams system, that safety is a savvy veteran guy is going to be very successful. We've seen it. We saw Johnny Johnson, right? After getting released, he was successful to a limited extent. But you could also get a player like, not Simmons in this case, right? But let's say if it does happen, a team that has a Simmons-like player with a hefty contract who gets released in the middle of the season, you're paying what percentage of that to run them for the rest of the year and see if they can contribute to your secondary. So either way, for the Rams, it's win-win. I mean, Mark's tired of hearing me say it. There are some really good safeties in this draft that would fit in the Rams system.
Yeah, I mean, if we go bigger picture with the NFC West, I just, Seattle isn't really doing anything, right?
They haven't done jack.
They haven't done anything. They're kind of offloading it. You know, they got a new coach. They're kind of, you know, trying to probably rebuild in his image. And obviously Arizona's still in a rebuild. And, they'll be okay. And a good coach, Gannon, and so forth. But, I mean, it's the Rams and the Niners. The Niners are the overwhelming favorites. You can get the Rams at 4-1. To win the NFC West. I mean, that's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And so it's one of the highest, aside from the, I think the, maybe it's 3-1, but the AFC West, you know, is lopsided with the Chiefs. But those are the two biggest divisions. So I just feel like the Niners, I mean, Armstead has been a stalwart, right? He's gone. There's just these guys that are falling off that squad. They're really not signing that many players at all. And because they have to save some money to re-sign their high-priced guys, right? With Ayuk, if they want to get him back, and some of these other guys. So I feel like there's a little bit more parity there. And I think like the Rams can really make a run at the NFC West. What are your guys' thoughts?
Real quick to that thought about them losing people and signing on especially the defensive line, which they put a lot of money into all the time, it feels like. I mean, guys. Oh, baby, we got a giant, great Ram wall people got to get through, right?
Yeah, I mean, Chase Young guy, Eric Armstead gone.
Alarg Jackson, 6'7", almost 300 pounds, 285. Rob Havenstein, 6'8", 330 pounds. Newly signed Jonah Jackson, 311 pounds. Steve Avila now at center is 332. Kevin Dodson, 321. Oh, baby. I mean, it's our time.
Colby Parkinson.
Yeah, and Colby, we just said six gazillion, 6'7".
6'7", yeah.
Almost pushing 300 pounds himself, getting, you know, in a lean too high 200s. I mean, guys, it's time. It's time to impose our will and take back the West. And I think we have a great, you know, offensive line to start that process, and we'll see what happens on defense too. But I agree everything you said, Tom. It's time. We got a chance.
The Rams have to stay in that mode of just constantly loading up every week. Just be in that mode, just constant, like that shopping list. Just, you know, like Mark said it in a really nice short that he had out there, was like their shopping list at the beginning of not just free agency, but the draft preparation. That's the mode the Rams have to be in. So, I mean, and I will say this about the Niners. The Niners did a good job of constantly bringing on talent. They brought on Gregory. They brought on McCaffrey. They brought on Trent Williams. So, you know, they made, in addition to that, they drafted well, and they brought on these mid-tier free agents that did very well for their team. And the Rams have to get into that mode. They have a nice nucleus. They have a supplemental sort of group of young players that are playing really well and are happy to be there. They have those returning low-cost free agents that are a key word here. Hoyt, ecstatic to be back. Parkinson, he's happy to be back, right? So you have this sort of mode now of constantly bringing in players. Ian and I talking about bring on Clowney, right? Bring that guy back. He'd be more than happy to chase a ring. More than happy to chase a ring, right? He's played in that Raven sequence of aggression. So bringing him back, and Shula saying, you know, he's going to be the guy that's going to juice up that front seven a little bit. It makes a lot of sense. I think Shula's going to play a lot of even fronts too. I don't think he's just going to go straight 3-4. I think he's going to run a lot of even fronts when he wants to get aggressive. So I think the Rams looked really good when they went into their nickel last year. They looked really good when they went into their nickel. When they didn't have those mental lapses, they looked good. So, and their dime package, right, is also looked good. And if you take a look at the, you know, sort of the breakdown, like Ian was saying, Lake looked really good, whether they play him at the star or at safety. You know, you've got some guys that you can definitely say on the chalkboard, you can say, put a check mark next to them. This guy's good. This guy's on the field. We're okay with that. And that's the key. And little bit by little bit, you're starting to see that 11 on both sides of the ball start to get into that mode. All right, check them off. O-line, good. We're from left side all the way to the right side, check mark. That's a major achievement in the offseason, gentlemen. Right? Think about it. By this time of free agency, how many teams can say that? Left tackle to a tight end, across the board, they got the check marks in place. So the Rams have achieved something a little bit under the radar, right? Without, you know, attracting too much attention. They've achieved, I think, it's a very important milestone for any team. And to do it this early in the process, kudos to that front office. They know what they're doing, and kudos to McVay.
Yeah, there's been, shifting gears a little bit here, there's been some reports that Stetson Bennett is bulking up. It sounds like he's got healthy. I mean, a lot of people don't want to speculate because it's not – politically correct about what he did. Or
I mean, look at man. He was
Ian, tell us what happened to Stetson. Just lay it out there. Tell the Rams straight up, no punches pulled. What happened to Stetson Bennett and what's he doing now?
Look, it all I can say, I've talked to some peeps. I could tell you guys off air, but I guess there was some mental health battle he was dealing with, and that's just how serious it was. There was, I don't know the exact specifics of what that battle was, but there was some mental health things going on. He wasn't mentally healthy based off things I've been told. Now, hopefully nobody kills me for sharing that. I think we'll be okay. But that just shows you, everybody, get you know, hey, get the help you need. And obviously he needed some help, and he looks like he's getting right. He looks like he's getting into football shape. You're talking about that clip of him. What did he say? Off-season time? Football ain't out of the question for him, right? So that's great news for him, his family, just for his own sanity and his own well-being that, you know, things are – the sun is coming out and no longer in the dark, like I like to say. And will he come back and play good football? Who knows? Who knows? We got to see him back throwing, you know, is 7-on-7 sessions good? And then let's get you suited up to a helmet and pads. Right. Does that look better? You know, there's going to be a process with him based off, you know, the battles mentally that's been going on with him. And, hey, you never know, because, you know, there was good football at Georgia, and obviously the preseason was a disaster, but, you know, that was, you know, in the realm of the mental battle that was going on with him, the negative things. So, who knows? Could he come back and play good football? I hope so. That would be, I think that would be good for him and good for the Rams. But yeah, that's my long story short on that.
Yeah.
And the, so, and the Rams Up podcast is a no shade zone. So, you know, he's Romelia all the way through. So the more, you know, the more important thing that matters, like Ian said, and Tom alluded to as well, is that, you know, he gets himself well, whether he comes back or not, even if he doesn't, but if he gets himself well, it's a win. Right there, it's a win, right? And we said the same thing when Kendrick. Remember when Kendrick got drafted, right? same thing, right? He was right. coming off as a scenario that was sort of in his personal life he was dealing with. So, you know, this is professional sports, and this a lot of times, like Ian said, you know, they go through a lot, right? They're adults at the age of 16. They're forced to be adults at the age of 16, and the wear and tear
nowadays with the money that is getting thrown at them earlier. Yeah.
So that's a great point that Ian brought up. You know, whether it doesn't matter who the person is, you know, if you don't feel right, go get the help. There's a lot of resources out there.
Good stuff. Well, let's put an end to it there. That's a good wrap up of what the Rams have done and haven't done and what we're hoping they will do. And they're biding their time a little bit. We obviously know where their priorities were, which is that offensive line and shoring up that tight end position going into this season. You know, Robinson got signed early on and that was huge. So a lot of good signings here. And, you know, we thought, people were scratching their head at the Dotson signing and how much they gave him. And there was a lot of blowback on that size of that contract. And then the interior offensive linemen started getting bags. And it was like, okay,
yeah,
thank God we signed Dotson early on. He would have gotten at least another $10 million over that 3 years if he had signed later. Yeah. So,
I think the Rams accountant is now on McVay's headset. Please run the ball. We've spent so much money. Please run the ball. They're going to calculate how many running plays so they can get their true value of their investment right into his headset. So they're going to be like, please run the ball.
The analytics guys. So good stuff. Well, hey, great session, guys. Good summaries. And we'll look forward to next week. Hopefully there'll be a lot more good news for the Rams. A lot of guys are getting cut and so forth, and we'll see where they land. But I think the Rams may be stepping out of things a little bit here and going for some of the better deals going forward and some of these mercenaries like we talked about. We'll have to see how it all shakes out. And then they'll be, you know, probably pretty active post-draft and during the draft and then throughout the season. So they are definitely saving a little bit of money, and there's lots more where that came from with the restructures, which they really haven't delved into yet. But there's a lot of money out there, probably another $40 million dollars easily with the restructures with Kupp and Stafford and Donald and some of the other things. So we'll really see how all in they are for this year and potentially the following year, 24 and 25, with like Paul mentioned, when we look at the restructures, that'll tell you where their head's at and what they do with that money. So, so good stuff. Well, thanks again, guys. Tom, your host at Rams Beat on X, with my co-host Mark here from the Rams Up podcast, and Ian and Paul. We will sign off there and catch you all next week.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Double barrel ramp horns.
Horns up, and let's find out what Aaron Donald knows soon. All right.
Sign Clowney.
That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at laramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.